Amen. Sometimes we got to break your brothers and sisters in. We have one thing in common. We all love God. Most of us have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. That makes us brothers and sisters. I just been in the sun a little bit longer than some of you all have, but we come from the same. We serve the same God, and I'm just honored and delighted to be here on tonight. I'd like to share this story. There was a young man who wanted to buy a gift for his mother's for Mother's Day. He was thinking about the perfect gift. Many people recommended cards and flowers. He said, no, that's traditional. He went into this pet shop and seen a $5,000 bird that spoke five different languages. He said, wow, this would be a great gift for mama. So he bought this $5,000 bird that spoke five different languages, and he sent it through the mail, and it made it to mama. But mama never called to say thank you. He wondered, he pondered, and he waited. Never got a call from mom. So he picks up the phone and say, mom, I bought you this $5,000 bird, and you couldn't even call and just say thank you. That was all my savings, and I just wanted to make you happy and do something different. And she said, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. We skint that bird, and we cooked that bird, and we ate it. Mama, you ate my bird. It wasn't for dinner. It was a $5,000 bird that speaks five different languages. She said, baby, if folks spoke five different languages, it ought to say something. So with that observation, God wants to say something on tonight. Brother Robert, it's my first time meeting you, but we have both done mission work in India, and you love the Lord, so we have two things that we know for certain in common. Heritage, by them highly recommended me. I don't know why, but I just want to bring the word of God. I don't know why they will highly recommend a young man like me, but I am glad, and it's a pleasure to be here tonight. The beginning will be an open discussion. What do we know about Elijah the prophet? You can just speak on your own terms. What do we know about Elijah the prophet? Anyone can speak. Anything you can say, what do we know about Elijah, the man of God that was used by God? What do we know about Elijah the prophet?
He is an example of great faith in God.
Okay. Anyone else?
He got discouraged.
Oh, okay. Anyone else?
He didn't die.
He took a ride to heaven without dying. Can anybody tell me the other guy that took a ride to heaven without dying? Enoch. Okay. Enoch. Elijah. It's the topic of tonight. Elijah was one of those great prophets that appeared during the reign of Ahab. He was a Tishbite. His mission and purpose was to denounce the king and his wife Jezebel for their idol worship of Baal. Baal was the principal deity of the Canaanites and the Phoenician people around that time. In the time of Moses, Baal was worshipped by the Moabites. Elijah was used by God to discredit Baal and 400 of his or her prophets by sending down fire from heaven on a water-soaked altar, which made God God Almighty. Didn't make him God Almighty. He was God Almighty, which proved that he really was God Almighty. And before we begin, I'd like to share a scripture with you that is not found in the Bible, but it means a lot to me. And it says, blessed are the ministers when they preach a fast sermon, for they will be invited back. So with that observation, I would not be before you long. Would you would open your word, the word of God, to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, and we'll be starting at verse 1. And the word of God says, and Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Chariot, which flows into Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Chariot, which flows into Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Now, verse 7 is going to be the meat of the subject on tonight. And I pray that whatever God has to say by using me and his word tonight, I pray that he does it in such a great manner. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. For a brief moment on tonight, I want to speak from the subject of what do you do when your brook dries up? What do you do when your brook dries up? Now, this word brook can be used in so many instances. First of all, your brook can be your job. Your brook can also be your finance. Your brook can be your health. Your brook can be your friends and family that surrounds you. Your brook can be anything that brings laughter, joy, prosperity, and wealth. So what do you do when your brook dries up? There are a few things that I would like to bring to your attention as we begin to go deeper. First thing I would like to say is recognize your source. Whenever your brook dries up in life, it is so important that we recognize the source. Notice that the brook was not the source. The ravens was not the source, but God Almighty was the source. Whenever you know exactly where your help comes from, it makes every situation much more pleasant. Whenever you realize that you serve God Almighty, which is full of resources, whenever you run out of one source, go back to the source, which is Jesus. The Bible says in Psalms 33, verse 20, our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So many times we get things misconstrued and we forget we serve Jesus. We serve God Almighty. We serve God that allowed a man to use the jawbone of a donkey to kill many. We serve a God that allowed Moses to part the Red Sea, not by Moses' power, but by God's power. We serve a God that allowed Jesus to catch a train to this earth to die for a sinner like you and me. Whenever your brook dries up in life, remember what your source is, and it's God. And notice, whenever we run out of one resource, we always go back to the source. The Bible says in Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. Not only does the world has to answer to God, but we as people of God must answer to God. And if we serve a God that rules the world, then what really should we be worried about? There was this young man who lost his wife, and he began to blame God. His brook dried up for a season. And he had counseling sessions with the ministers every week, and he just couldn't figure out, and why God? He must not be real. If he can't answer my prayers, why? If God loved me so much, why would he allow my wife to die at a young age? We have 3 kids together. We only been married 10 years. If God loves me so much, how could he let a thing like this take place? And one day it dawned on him. And he came to the minister and he sat down in the same chair that he had been coming to for several months receiving this counseling. And he said, wow, it just dawned on me. If a married couple both doesn't die in a car wreck together, one must die before the other. God is not picking on me. It happens to everyone. And he began to heal from that day forth. What do you do when your brook dries up? Do you remember when John the Baptist thought his brook was about to dry up? And he had been proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's the precious Lamb of God. Make way, make his path straight. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And one day, John the Baptist was sitting in prison for preaching that same good news. And he sent out his disciples and say, hey, my brook has dried up. In so many words, I have been preaching that he's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And I really believed it, but it seems like my brook is drying up. I'm losing a little faith. Can you go and ask Jesus, is he really the Messiah? Shall we look for another? And Jesus said, go and tell John the things you see and the things you hear. And Jesus began to quote scripture. He began to quote Isaiah 61. And guess what? John the Baptist knew the Old Testament. And I believe when he heard the words of Jesus, how he quoted the Old Testament scripture of Isaiah, I believe that it brought him comfort. It's okay. I can stay in this prison. And Jesus even said, could you stay there and not be offended? Could you deal with staying in prison? I know you want to get out, but your brook has dried up. Your mission is over. You did exactly what you had to do. Could you be content with that? And I believe those words brought John the Baptist comfort. Luke 1 verse 37 says this, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Notice the power of God. The Bible said that God commanded ravens to feed him there. Now, I do a lot of hunting, and I know a lot of people do a lot of hunting. Let's do the historical background on a raven. The raven comes from a buzzard family. Ravens feed off the dead. They don't feed the living. We serve a God that is so mighty that he changed the psychological makeup of an animal to do something that was against his or her nature. God commanded ravens to feed a prophet. Ravens feed off the dead. They don't go and feed the living. But guess what? With God, nothing is impossible. We serve a God that is worried about the things that you are going through. We serve a God that can answer every prayer. Hey, I have a lot of drop calls because I'm with T-Mobile, and I really need to switch over to Verizon. But guess what? God hears everyone's prayers and never has to say, hold on, I got a beep. I need to click over because I got another call. We serve a God that is so mighty. We serve a God that is so magnificent. We serve a God that is so powerful. Who would not want to serve a God that we serve? God is mighty. The second thing after recognizing your source is realizing that you have to put yourself in a place to receive your blessing. There was a law I was reading about, and it's called the law of the there. You have to be there. The Bible said he commanded ravens to feed him there. And if you would go down to verse 8 and 9. After this incident, something else takes place that burst with so much significance. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I commanded a widow woman there, in order to receive your blessing, in order to receive deliverance, you have to be there. What do you mean about there? The Bible says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth not in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he do meditate there day and night. You want to know where you ought to be? In the word of God. We have so many brothers and sisters that do not go home and study the word of God on a daily basis. Why have we pulled away from daily Bible study? Why have we pulled away from daily prayer? Why have we pulled away from daily meditation? Just on Sunday, I was speaking in Jackson, Mississippi at Sidewell Church of Christ. And I was speaking with the elders afterward. And one thing they said they was getting the church to do is they were studying the whole Bible again. It wasn't a competition, but they were just motivating one another. Let's study the word of God. Let's dive into the word of God. Let's fall in love with the word of God like we did when we first became saints. We have to fall back in love with the word of God. The word of God is the there, the place we ought to be when your marriage is not what it needs to be. The Word of God is that place we ought to be when your job is no longer producing. The Word of God is the place we ought to be when health, your health is not doing as well as it used to. And that's why Solomon warns us, remember your Creator. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. The days come and they draw now when you say, I no longer have no pleasure in them. When your grind has ceased and your ear that used to be able to be perfect hearing is no longer perfect. And those legs that used to be so strong in the weight room, well, they kind of hurt when you walk up the stairs. Remember God. Young people, remember your Creator while you're young. Remember me. Remember me. Fall in love with me. Fall in love with my word. Why? Because you're going to need it further along the road. I go to the nurse home quite often, and an older lady I used to go and see, her name was Maggie Matthews, 100 years old. She just passed away, and she told me, she said, I was walking out the room one day, and she said, baby, and I looked back, I said, yes, ma'am. She said, don't let Satan fool you to get on the devil truck. I said, huh? I said, I've been reading scriptures 3 years, and I never read about the devil truck, but I said, what's the devil truck, grandma? And she said, baby, the devil got so many followers now that he done bought him a pickup truck. I said, wow. But it's so true. Satan's number one objective is to kill, steal, and destroy. And if we're not in the Word of God, if we're not rooted, if we're not steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, guess what? Satan's going to knock on your door one day when your brook is dried up. And he may just get you if you're not strong enough. And anybody can fall. And that's why the Word of God warns us. Let him that thinketh he stand, take heed. Can anybody finish it? Lest he fall. Let us move on. Remember your source, and you have to be there. You have to be there. The Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Last but not least, I want to say this. Everyone's brook dries up. You're not the only one that's going through turmoil. You're not the only one that's facing chaos in your life, and you're not the last one. There's no new temptation under heaven. The Bible even says, think you're not strange when these things come upon you. James even said, consider it joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith is working patience. We go through things in life because God is trying to give us patience. Not only patience, but God is trying to give us wisdom. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is learning through experience. And you see a lot of people that have knowledge with no wisdom. You need both. You need both. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual shall restore such as one in the spirit of meekness. We have so many people, brothers and sisters, who brook have dried up. And guess what? It may not ever receive rain again because the people that love and say they love God are not there for them. We have brothers and sisters in the church right now that marriage is on the very edge of divorce. We have brothers and sisters right now that's really just saying, man, I really want to give up on life. I do not feel love. We have so many brothers and sisters that are going through things right now, and that brook is just about dry. And they're looking around for the people that say they love God to be a beam of light in their lives. People are afraid, even on Sunday morning, to stand up and say, yes, I have sinned. Yes, my brook is dried up. Yes, I'm at my wits' end, and I'm about to commit suicide. Yes, I don't know what to do. Yes, I sing some. Yes, I come in and lead prayer. Yes, I'm at every prayer meeting. Yes, but I don't feel it anymore. I'm dealing with temptation. I'm going through so many things, and I feel like I cannot talk to anybody about it. Where are the spiritual people? The Bible said, ye who are spiritual shall restore one. What happened to the church when you can go to your friend's house and just ask to borrow something and not be worried about anything? What happened to you can ask your brother, hey, man, you got $50, I can pay my light bill, and your brother and sister would not be on the phone later on that night saying, hey, you know I had to pay Susan light bill last weekend. What happened to the spiritual people? What happened to our brothers? What happened to our sisters? The last but not least, everyone goes through things. When Elijah left the brook and the brook had dried up, he went to Zarephath, where he found this woman whose brook was about to dry up. And why it's so important to be a beam of light in the lives of people when their brook is drying up? Because you may be their only motivation to believe that God is real. The Bible says that she was just about to feed her child and say, we're going to eat this last meal and we're going to die. But the man of God stepped in. And although she lost her son, the man of God brought him back to life. And she said, my God, and I'm paraphrasing, your word that you speak of your God is true. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How they stood there and not worrying about what the enemy said, not worrying about how people would look at them. They said, no matter what you do, I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to believe the word of God. Where are the believers that believe in the word of God and that will stand firm and not negotiate with the enemy? And guess what? After they stood firm, the people really realized that the God of Israel was mighty. Just Elijah, like Elijah and the prophets, and how he discredited all 400 prophets, the people believed. And that's why the Bible tells us, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It is so important that we place ourselves around spiritual, strong people. I always have a saying when I go into the prison facilities and speak to young people, I say it, that the company you keep will determine the levels in life you reach. You show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is the opposite of faith? When your brook is drying up and you're losing a little faith, what is the opposite of faith? Doubt. It's another word, doubt. And fear. 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 If faith knocks on the door and fear answers the door, they have nothing to talk about. But if faith knocks on the door and faith answers the door, you got a lot to talk about. Do you remember in the book of Matthew when the Bible said that Jesus had been praying? And in the middle of the night, he came walking on water. The Bible said that his disciples was moved with fear. And let me tell you exactly what fear does. F, it causes you to forget God. E, it causes you to envision defeat. They was like, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. We forgot God. He's a ghost. He's not God in the flesh. He's a ghost. They forgot God. They began to envision defeat. A, they began to accept the declarations of the devil. That water was the devil. That water was speaking to them in so many words. Oh, you're going to die. Where's your Jesus now? Where's your Jesus when your marriage is going through turmoil? Where's your Jesus when your family's finna break up? Where's your Jesus when your wife no longer wants to worship in the Church of Christ? Where's your Jesus? Where's your Jesus? They began to accept the declarations of the devil. Instead of saying, no, I believe the word of God. No, I'm going to trust in the Lord all my heart. Lean not into my own understandings. In all my ways I'm going to acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. I will trust in the Lord all my heart. I will lean not into my own understandings. Let him that think he stand take heed to the word lest he fall. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Refuge in my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. They began to accept the declarations of the devil. And R, they began to reject deliverance. They began to reject deliverance. But let me tell you about this thing called faith. F, forward, A, action, I, N, T. Trusting, H, him. Just forward action. Faith is deciding now what you're going to do then. Does anybody have faith? Will anybody stand firm and believe the word of God like Elijah? Even though it was dried up, he said in his heart, I believe it's going to rain. I know I'm going through things, but I believe it's going to rain. Yes, I'm going through a drought, but I believe it's going to rain. What do you do when you go to work and your boss say, well, Billy, it's getting a little tight. We no longer need you to work. What do you do when you go to the doctor's office and they say, well, Anna, looks like you got a speck of cancer on your lungs. What do you do? What do you do? What do we do when a brook dries up? Just notice that everyone's brook's going to drop one day. And the reason I want to share this with you, why it's so important to be a beam of light when someone's brook has dried up. There was this story of this young man named Simeon, and Simeon was an individual that nobody spoke to at school, and nobody even said hi, nobody even said, hey, can I eat with you at this lunch table? Nobody said anything. But one day was this Christian boy, part of the church, named Jeremy. And he was walking down the hall, and he saw Simeon unloading his locker. He said, hey, man, let me help you get those books. You got a lot of books. And Simeon replied, hey, I don't need your help. Just get away. Leave me alone. I don't need your help. I can do it. And all the books dropped. And he said, yeah, man, you really do need my help, man. And he began to pick up books for this young man. He walked them home, and they sparked up a conversation. And he asked them, hey, man, why are you so mean? And why you walk around angry every day? He didn't reply, but they began to grow a great friendship. He began to go to church with him. Within a matter of months, he got baptized and obeyed the gospel. They kept in touch, and they went off to college and went their separate ways, but they always stayed in touch, whether phone call or email. This was his best friend. Simeon went on to get his PhD, and right at his ceremony, one of the instructors said, I want you to give a speech. I want you to give a speech, and I want you to speak, brother. He said, I'd love to do that, but I want to invite my best friend. And he sent them letters, and he came. And Jeremy sat back at the back of the auditorium, and when Simeon got up to speak, he began to cry. He began to cry. And he opened his mouth and he said, nobody spoke to me in school. Nobody asked me my favorite color. Nobody sat beside me on the school bus. Nobody wanted to take me out to the movies. Nobody asked me what I wanted to try for the football team. He said, my brook had just about dried up. He said, early that morning before going to school, I had already loaded the 357, and I was just ready to come back home and commit suicide. I felt like I was at my wick's end. He said, but I was there. I was there. I was in the right place at the right time, the law of the there. I was there, and this man named Jesus had a soldier. He sent my way. He asked me my name. He asked me my favorite color. He asked me why I was so angry. But most of all, he told me about a man that can take away the anger. He told me about a man that can take away the unforgiveness of my father molesting me at a young age. He told me about a man that was sent down to die for my sins. He told me about a God that loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. He told me about a book. A book that was powerful than any two-edged sword that even cut and pierced and divided the son to the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow. He told me about all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. He told me, and I was motivated to go and read, and he told me that I should repent and be baptized for the remission of my sin, and I believed it. And I would not be the man that I am today if it wasn't for him. So what do you do when your brook dries up? You seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else. You know the scriptures. Be added unto you. Brothers and sisters, I just want to let you know that everyone's brook dries up. And just like Elijah, he had to stand firm in the face of defeat. He had to stand firm in the face of Satan, and we must do the same thing. Let us not forget God. Let us not envision defeat. Let us not accept the declarations of the devil, and please do not reject deliverance. The same thing that walked on water to save them, they began to call it a ghost. And Jesus even told them, O ye a little faith. faith. Why are you so scared? The more you draw closer to God, the more you begin to know God. And that's why the Bible says, draw unto me and I will draw unto you. Sometimes we forget the God that we serve. And before I close, I would like to share just a little with you. I told you I would not be before you long, but I hope something was said that can kind of bring water to your brook. We forget the Jesus that died for us. We forget his definitions. We forget his occupation. And we forget his grace. We forget his mercy. We begin to accept those declarations when Satan tells us that we're unworthy. Makes us feel guilty when we make a mistake. Make us feel low when we come up short of the kingdom of God and the glory of his son, Jesus Christ. But for a brief moment, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. From reading the Bible and going through the Bible, let me tell you a Bible safari of the scriptures. The Bible says that my king is the king of kings. The Bible says that he's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And you said it. He's the Lord of lords. Do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of magic can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that ever walked the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest ideal in literature. He is the highest personality and philosophy. I wonder, do you know him on today? He supplied strength to the weak. He's available to the tempted and to the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens, he sustains. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him? He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of glory. And he's the gateway of heaven. I wonder, do you know him on tonight? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. He supplies strength to the weak. He supplies grace to all. His grace is sufficient. His yoke is easy and his burdens are light. I wish I can describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. The Pharisees can stand him, but they found out they can stop him. Pilate can find any fault in him. Herod can kill him. Death can handle him and the grave can hold him. This man. That's your king. What do when your brook dries up? You go to a man like that. The Muslims, they can't say that. Buddha can't do it. The Hindu religion can't say that. But guess what? Christians can say that on tonight. Remember your source. You have to be there in the Word of God. And at the end of the day, you have to realize, hey, just like the young man that lost his wife, God is not picking on me. Everyone brook dries up. Everyone faces the same thing. God really does love me on tonight. Thank you.